Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I was talking to Brother Mark and some of the brethren before services, and how he was mentioning about how the Lord was leading him a different way in the Sunday school lesson this morning and covering for Brother Stephen. And Brother Stephen's at Russellville Baptist Church, covering there. Brother Chad's out, and so another brother there's preaching. Brother Stephen's helping out with and Sister Natalie with the music there. So you pray for them. Lord will bring them back to us, safely to us. And but the brother was saying about how he had in mind that he would bring something else, and but the Lord just wasn't letting that happen. He was kept bringing this other to mind. And that happens to anyone that teaches, that can happen, teaches or preaches. And that was happening with me this morning. And frankly, I wonder why. I do wonder that in my mind. I had a thought of going a different direction, same overall subject, but was going to go a different direction. The Lord just seemingly was shutting that down and opening this up. And after Brother Mark's lesson this morning, I know why. Because we pray that the Lord will work and superintend in our worship, even in the bringing of lessons and the messages, right? Don't we pray for that? So may we be open and receptive to what the Lord has for us, and we'd hear Him and believe Him, knowing that the Lord is working even in this to give us what we need for the time. And that's just a great thing. It's great to be on the receiving end of that and be used of the Lord that way. So understand the lesson our brother brought this morning, even the teachers in the children's classes, and the message that I bring forth this morning and this afternoon with the Lord's help and blessing. Understand that's not our brother speaking or me speaking. Yeah, we're being used. We're mouthpieces. But this is what God is saying to us. As long as it lines up with the Scripture and it's out of the Scripture, it's what the Lord is speaking to us. And so may we stand on the promises of God. Amen? Here in Matthew chapter 10, in the consideration of this subject, I started on it in May and preached one message on it, but just this consideration of these two words, I am. Okay, I am. In consideration of that, we took a look about how the Lord spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, said, I am that I am. We took a look at that. Many other things that we hope to take a look at regarding that. Well, we want to look at I am, and we're coming here to the New Testament this morning and seeing about what Jesus says in regards to this I am. I am come. Okay, the Lord Jesus speaking about Himself. Verse number 34. Think not, Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your blessings, Your goodness towards us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You most of all for the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His great sacrifice for us. Father, You willing to give Your Son a ransom for our souls and a payment for our sin. And Lord, that it could be so that You could, through what Jesus Christ has done, that it could be granted unto us to live forever. And not only just to live forever, but to live forever with You. Lord, that we could be adopted by You and be joint heirs with Christ, that we could be called Your sons. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for putting us in Your church and showing us about these things. Father, thank You for Your Word and Your promises in Your Word that tell us all about it. Help us, Lord, we'd live for You. Help us, Lord, that we'd rightly divide Your Word and we'd understand the truth. Lord, we'd see things as You see things. And with that, go and be a witness and good representative of You to a lost and dying world, Father, that we might represent always the truth. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Lord, You know their need, and we pray, Father, that You would open their hearts and their eyes and their ears as You only can, Lord, that they might see that Jesus is the only way, that He is the only way to life eternally, forgiveness of sins. Lord, that Jesus is the only way to having peace with You. And we pray, Father, that You would just help and bless in it. Bless this time, bless Your Word, and Lord, help us as we look into it. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Here in Matthew 10, the Lord says in verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." In this passage here, the Lord Jesus in this chapter 10, he's called his 12 disciples. He's sent them out. He's named them. They're named here. And he gives them instruction earlier in the chapter about how they should go and what they should do and the message that they'll preach and the condemnation of that that will be upon those cities that reject them. And understand that there'll be those that would receive and there'll be those that would reject what again? The word of the Lord, what God has said, or his promises, if you will, in the context of the song. He says he's sending them as sheep amongst wolves. He says, be wise, verse 16, as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're called to do that yet today. They're going to be, he tells in verse 18 and 19 about how they're going to be brought before different ones. And the Lord will give to them to speak, what to speak. And it'll be the Spirit that'll speak those things at that time. Don't meditate, the Lord says, about what you're going to say. The Lord will work in that. And of course, we need to be filling up with the Word of God so the Lord will have something to work with. He talks about perseverance and that in verse 22. And he tells about persecution in verse 23 and about fleeing from that and continuing on to another city. And there'll be plenty of places to go, he says to them there. And he says here, a disciple is not above his master. You know, if they've treated the master bad, certainly his disciples that follow after him won't consider them better than he. And then he says here, everything's going to be made known, verse 26. There's nothing going to be nothing covered that's not going to be revealed. He says, what I tell you in darkness, he says, tell that out openly. What you hear in the ear, preach it. Verse number 27. And we come down here in verse 28. He says, don't fear about the one that can just destroy the body and has no touch upon the soul, but fear the one that can touch the soul and the body. And that is the Lord, isn't it? And he tells about his care and his knowledge of us. He even knows the number of the hairs of our head. I mean, if he knows that, he knows all about us, doesn't he? And so, and that we're worth much more than the birds are. Okay, verse 32, this is where we want to pick up just this thought here. Wherefore, or whosoever therefore, and these things that he said earlier in this chapter, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You stand as a witness of me to the world, and I'll confess you before my Father. He says, now understand this, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, or those against him, his enemies, or those that would be contrary or quarrelsome toward him, shall be they of his own household. That's how this thing is may very well run and will run. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, the Father and the Son. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am come, verse number 34, I am come not to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. You know, as the world in which we live today and the picture that the world has of the Lord Jesus Christ, this kind of understanding and what the Lord has said, even out of his own mouth, as is accounted here in the scriptures, it's just not received. As a brother mentioned this morning, it's indeed spiritually discerned. We need to understand that Jesus is never looking at just the picture of this earth, but Jesus is looking at always the global picture, the eternal picture, if you will, from end to end, relative to you and me, from when time started, what we know about, you know, our existence started in Adam, and then we were born in time. But the Lord knows about that and beyond. And, you know, and we have been created. We're going to go into eternity and we'll live forever somewhere. And the Lord sees that big picture. And the Lord, as we're going to see in the scripture, he's always telling the truth. And when the Lord says, he says, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. Well, Brother Jim, you know, what about what the angels declared? In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. What about that? I thought Jesus was going to bring peace. Well, he does bring peace with God. But I tell you what, for a man, woman, boy, or girl to have peace with God, they're going to have to receive the Lord on his terms and in his word and in his promises and in his way. Every other way will lead to a lack of peace. And so there's going to be this thing about Christ that's just going to really turn some people off. It's going to turn them off. It's going to bug them. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm not come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. There's going to be a cutting that's going to happen because of Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ? Why? Well, his doctrine, his teaching, what he tells and what he defines and reveals to mankind as the truth. And that's just going to bug some, and it's going to cut some. And it's not going to be just a thing that's going to be out there between somebody and their enemies in the world, or someone that is the Lord's and saved and trusted in him, and it would just, well, it would be conflict that we would have in the neighborhood. Well, no, it's not going to just be that, but it may be that it's not going to be something that's far away that would be expected. Well, I understand those in that other county. You know, schools have rivalries, right? Rivalries. And with the youth, those rivalries get intense, more intense than they should be. And there can even be a rivalry between schools such that there's hatred and enmity between. And that's inordinate, and that shouldn't be. That would be expected for those over there in the other school for to have a rivalry, or those who are over there in another county for there to be an enmity between. But the Lord says it's not going to be far away. It's going to come right down. It might be right here and will be right here in your own home. The Lord says a sword that's going to cut. And he said, I didn't come to bring peace. And the distinction is what the angels proclaim, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. The Lord has sent the Savior. And it's by the Savior that we have peace with God. But there won't necessarily be peace with one another, and even those that would be close to us in our family. He said it's going to be like a sword. He says here, for I am come, verse 35, to set a man at variance against his father. It may be that a daddy and a father would be on total ends of the spectrum regarding Jesus Christ. One would hold to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing is, not just a holding to, as our brother mentioned this morning, about just speaking a thing, but there's a conviction, a thing of taking the Lord Jesus' opinion and what he states about the way things are, says, I'm holding to that, and then that just puts others at odds with that person. Not that they desire it. We're not to go looking for this or cultivating this or stirring this up. There are people that are that way. They're just looking to have controversy for the sake of controversy. That's not what we're talking about here. But he says, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And just different relationships that the world would judge, well, those are always close. Well, because of a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, some of them are going to be blown apart. Because there's going to be a conviction on the part of one to follow after and hold to what Jesus says. It says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. It can go and come that close. Not those people over there in the other county. Not the Hatfields looking over there at the McCoys and saying, well, that rivalry and that problem is just there. But it's talking about a rivalry, an enmity, those that would be set against the truth of God's Word, and it's going to be manifested in their dislike, hatred, shunning, or denial, or mocking, as the brother mentioned this morning, about that one that would claim the Lord, not just by voice, but claim the Lord by action and walk. One that's trying to live and walk with the Lord. Listen to this. He that loveth father or more than mother, verse 37, more than me, is not worthy of me. And we love our folks. We should love our parents. And I love my parents. And I'm thankful to God for them. But I am to love, and I am seeking to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than they. If I don't love my Lord more than my parents, I don't do them right. You heard me say the other day, I love Jesus. I love the Lord more than I love Clarissa. And I love Clarissa a lot. More so than any other person on this earth. She's my wife. And everybody's got their place. You understand that. But I love my wife. You know what? If I don't love my Lord more than I love her, I don't do her right. And I sure don't do my Lord right. Amen? Now see, the world will say, well, I don't know about that. Wait a minute. You better know about that. Because the thing is if we take our children, we take our parents, we take our kin, and we put them up there before the Lord, we've got an idol at hand. We've got an idol at hand. And we need to love the Lord first and foremost. And that doesn't mean that we forsake our family, but we obey. Some time ago, we took a look at different relationships in life and how for the child of God, all of our relationships with one another, like me with my wife, me with my children, me with my brothers and sisters in Christ, all of those are dependent on and going to be those relationships that we have with one another are all connected with the relationship that we have to the Lord regarding that relationship. If I love and follow my Lord right, I'll be a good husband to my wife. But if I disobey the Lord and don't hear what He says concerning that of marriage and the way He would have me to treat my spouse, I'm at conflict with my Lord in that relationship, me and Him, and then I don't have a good relationship with my wife. Understand that? See that? In John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus here is speaking to His church, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So He's not, with what we read there in Matthew 10, He's not bailing out on that there's no peace. But the issue is peace with God, not peace with the world. If you and I follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to have peace with the world because the world is at enmity with the Lord. That's a nice way of saying hatred. They hate the way of the Lord. And if we're going to follow after the way of the Lord, we can just expect that there's going to be conflict, there's going to be a sword, there's going to be a dividing. We love our loved ones and we care for our loved ones. We love our children, we love our parents, our cousins, our brothers and sisters, those of you that have brothers and sisters, we love them. And well, we should. But for the one that follows after the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, if those that we're connected with and those that we're kin to don't follow after that, there's going to be a dividing that's there. I am come, the Lord says. I am. Here's those two words, I am. And he says, I'm come. Then we'll bring, the sword will be at hand, and this variance will be at hand. Let's read on. Look here. Verse 37, he that loveth father more than mother more than me is not worthy of me. Mark it down. It means what it means. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I understand there's care for family. You know, but there's care for family. There's necessity for family. That happens. That's touched every family in this church. That happens. But do we work out our care for our family and work it out and seek to work it out in a way that we can honor the Lord in it? It's kind of like the ox in the ditch. Your ox gets in the ditch today, go pull it out. But thing is, sometimes I've been known to take my ox and push it in the ditch. Here, we can take those oxes and we can push them in the ditch too, can't we? And so he says here, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You and I follow after the way of the world, our own carnal thinking, and the way we deal with our children. We don't need to put our children before the Lord. We need to put the Lord before our children, and in that we'll do them well. Listen to this. Here's the summary of this passage, I believe, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross, the Lord Jesus bore a cross. You and I, as the Lord's children, are called to bear a cross, a burden, a following after. Bearing a cross is not easy on the body, is it? And following after and serving our Lord is not going to be easy on this flesh. But you know what? It'll bring peace with our Lord. Amen? Peace with our Lord. No guilt. No sin to confess. And I know we sin and we transgress and we fail. We need to repent of that before the Lord. And then charge on to be obedient to Him. But there's a burden to bear. There's a truth to uphold. There is a denial of self. Just as our Savior denied Himself, that we are to deny ourselves. We've heard, you've heard of folks that have been saved and said that they were saved and gave testimony that the Lord had saved them and then would say, man, it's going to be an easy road from now on, bed of roses. I tell you what, the petals will fall off and it can be a bed of thorns. Many, because they don't know, they don't understand the way that it really is and what the Lord says. What's hard on the flesh doesn't mean necessarily that it's bad with God. But we estimate so much by this skin, don't we? Our Lord denied Himself and bore a cross. And you and I, as the Lord's people, are to deny ourselves and bear our cross. You know what? We bear that the Lord gives us and tells us and instructs us in His Word and His promises. And it's contrary to this world and contrary to this man and contrary to this skin. And then our family would look on and say, why do you do that? Why is your thinking warped and messed up that you think that you're suffering in this and you're going through this, or you deny yourself this, or you don't go this way that's easy, and you say that everything's great? What's the matter with you? That's crazy, they might say. That's the cross to bear, and that's the witness that's at hand. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me. There's the key, following after the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus says I should be here at a certain time, a certain place, certain way. Lord Jesus says I need to obey Him and following in Him after this. The Lord Jesus says I need to put that off and not go after that anymore. You understand, the Lord has given us commands. He's given us instruction. And will I go after me, or will I go after what the Lord says? He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And indeed will be denied. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men. No, I'm not bearing my cross. I'm not going to follow after the Lord. I just don't want that. That's too hard. That's just too much. That's giving up too much. Jesus gave up everything so that sinners like you and I can be saved. And I fuss about giving up too much. He that findeth his life shall lose it, verse 39. Yeah, you grab a hold of life and live it your own way, do your own thing. You're going to lose your life. But he that receiveth me, I'm sorry, and he that loseth his life for my sake. People lose their lives many different ways. People take their lives and just waste them on the way of the world. And they lose them in that, but they don't do so for Christ's sake. He that loses his life for my sake, there's the key, is going to have peace with the Lord. And a lack of peace and a division with others in this life. Now, isn't it great? Isn't the Lord's provision for us in the church a wonderful thing? Like-minded, knowing that we need to serve the Lord, seeking to try to follow the Lord and meet together to worship and serve Him in the region and community where He's placed us. And the thing is, we know it's safe once amongst one another, don't we? The Lord saved us. He's made us His own. We've got kinship by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing is, we know we're not going to mock one another, are we? We're not going to ridicule one another and the things of the Lord and the following of Christ. We've got a like-mindedness. Yeah, we may not agree on every point, but the thing is, we know we're going to be long-suffering and kind-hearted and sympathetic and empathetic and helpful, don't we? And then that's a great provision that the Lord's given us in the church. And he goes on, he says, verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. We know that there's a jibing in the Lord, if you will, because we receive the Word of God, and if others receive the Word of God, we've got fellowship in that. We're receiving the Lord and receiving one another by the truth of the Lord. And then it goes on here about the economy of the Lord. You can have another's blessing. You know, you can, and this is self-serving, I know, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know what? You can have a pastor's blessing by receiving a pastor in the name of the Lord. You can. You can. That's the economy of the Lord. And just by giving a drink, of cold water unto them. In verse number, or chapter 12 of Luke, chapter 12. Another passage along this line. We pick it up in verse number 49. Here the Lord says it is a little bit different. Verse number 49 of Luke 12. I am come to send fire on the earth. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was not controversial and all loving and all caring and all, oh, he's the definition of love. And he is indeed the definition of care. But you can't take Jesus' love and care and deny what he instructs and what he tells us the truth. Can't do it. That's the only way you can have peace with the Lord. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Listen, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, looking forward to his sacrifice of himself. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He is compressed and he is arrested. He's preoccupied with that. And thank the Lord he was. Wouldn't it have been terrible if Jesus was distracted about what he came to do? But he wasn't. He was focused on what he came to do because he made a promise. Amen? He did. And he goes on to say here, suppose ye that I am come, verse 51, to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. The Lord Jesus says, I am come to bring division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided against three, and three against two, and two against three. Five in the house and one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I'm come to send fire. This word fire, if we take a look at it a little bit deeper, it speaks about lightning. Isn't that interesting? A flash of lightning. It's going to be decisive. When lightning hits something, it's destructive, isn't it? When lightning strikes, it is destructive. And Jesus says, I am come to send fire on the earth. There's going to be a division. For those that hear the Lord and believe Him and follow Him and trust Him in what He says, or those that say, no, I just don't need that. I don't like that. That's too hard. That's not for me. In John chapter 9, verse number 39, the Lord Jesus says here, in John 9, verse number 39, the Lord Jesus says, and Jesus said, the Scripture says, and Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. What's this talking about? For judgment, for avenging or condemnation, for damnation. Indeed, I believe what Brother read this morning in John chapter 3, and what Brother Mark said is true. The world was already condemned, and Jesus came the first time to be Savior. But then when He comes back, He's going to come back meeting out the condemnation. He's not coming as Savior then. He's already fulfilled that. And sinners are called to repent and believe and trust in Him for salvation. It's the only way that you can have peace with the Lord. But He says, and this is another way I believe in Him saying, He says, Jesus said, for judgment I am come. Because there will be a division. Do you hear Him and believe Him and trust in Him, or do you deny Him? He said, this denial, in Luke chapter 12, He said, this denial, it's already kindled. I'm already being rejected. He said, I'm not come to give peace, but I've come to create a division. Which side of dividing line are you on? He says, for judgment. This division, I'm coming to this world, that they which see not might see. Isn't that something? That those that can't see, that they would see. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about repentance, lining up with the Lord. Where we come before God and say, I can't see. I need to be able to see, but I can't see. And I need help to see. Let's talk about repentance. But the other, it says that those that can see might be made blind. Those that see not and admit that before the Lord, that's repentance. That's what that's talking about. That they which see not might see. And then they which see, those are self-righteous. Hey, everything's good here. Everything's all right. Now all that Bible thing and that stuff about Jesus and all that hard thing on the skin, that thing about eternity that you talk about, and what's this about sin and having God to answer to? You really believe that there was a flood? That's nuts. They say they got it together. Self-righteous. Everything's good. And the wisdom of man are blind indeed, aren't they? Because see, there's a dividing line. The dividing line. The dividing line of the Lord. It's always about this one thing. In John chapter 8, verse number 45, it is about what? Truth. The one that follows the Lord and loves the Lord, has been saved by the Lord, they take up their cross, they take up their burden, and they follow the Lord. They lose their own life. They lose their life to self that they might follow after Jesus. This old physical life and this old physical body, it doesn't mean anything compared to what Jesus means. I'm following Him. I don't care who rails, who mocks, who squawks about the things. I look to the Scripture and hear from the Lord in His Word and follow after Him. Now, the world says, that's crazy. The world says, that's unfair. The world says, that's ludicrous to follow after. If Jesus says it, that's what I'm following after. I'm following after him. Even if it costs me everything, I'm following after him. The Lord Jesus says here in John 8, verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The truth. It's about the truth. And the truth that can only be found in the Lord. Is what Jesus says the truth? Well, then will you not believe him and follow him in it? Amen? It's the only way to have peace with the Lord is to follow after the truth. But indeed, because the truth is so divisive to sinful, wicked, natural man, it makes a division. I don't understand what God's talking about. I don't like that because that hurts me. And save your life for yourself, you'll lose it in the end. He says, I tell you the truth and you believe me not, to these that the Lord speaks to here. In John chapter 14, listen in this context and in the thought of this message. I am come, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse number 6, you know the passage. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You going to be divided against me? If you're divided against me, you've lost it all. You have nothing. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You have the Lord. And if you will, you're on his side of the dividing line, following him. You got peace with God. Don't have peace with the world. You got peace with the Lord. And indeed, an eternal blessing with the Lord. Right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is back with the Father. And don't you want to go to be with the Father? The world talks a lot about heaven, going to heaven, eternal bliss, and eternal golf courses, and eternal good fishing, and all. That's wicked man's warped mind about being with God. Being with the Lord Jesus is life. Jesus doesn't have anybody dead around him. And everybody that the Lord has around him is raised to a greater stand, if you will. Because Jesus doesn't have chumps around him. You understand that? That's the way the world looks at it. Jesus, he takes sinners that he saves and makes them children. Hear that? Those who are saved are the sons of God, children. Family in the Lord. Which side of the dividing line of truth are you on? The Lord Jesus in John chapter 15 here, just right across the page, verse number 22 says this, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Because see, that's what the truth does, is it reveals sin. And that takes natural man and puts him in a tear. Doesn't want to see about sin. Denies about sin. Denies about disobedience of God. But the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ brought is that reveals sin. In John chapter 10, a wonderful passage about the sheepfold, right? And in John chapter 10, verse number 10, the Lord Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, hear that? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That division, that sword, lining up with the Lord on his side of that division and that sword brings life. Hear in the Lord and believe in him and trust him in what he says. I am come. I am come. In John chapter 12, just across a couple more pages, in John chapter 12, verse number 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The Lord has come not to bring peace, but a sword. And in that, he's talking about that sword and that division amongst men. Those that hold to the truth that God created this world, and because of sin, he flooded this world in judgment, and because he saved Noah and his family on that ark, and that's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for sinners, and he did those things, he created, he judged, and he's going to finally judge in the end. It's so. We don't mock that, do we? We hold to that. We believe that and know that that's true. Do you? How do you stand? I'm come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. In Matthew chapter 11, a couple more scriptures and we'll close. In Matthew chapter 11, see, this all boils down to not the message of the children of the Lord. We bear the message of the Lord and we carry that cross. We fall out on one side of that dividing line there with the Lord Jesus about that division and that sword that cuts and brings problems, an issue, and a lack of peace between our parents or our siblings or our cousins or our family or those we work with or our neighbors. And we fall out of it. We don't have peace with them, but we got peace with God. We're a witness of good things to them. And the thing is falling out on that side of that dividing that the Lord does by his truth, his plummet line of truth, we have peace with the Lord, and we're not offended by him, are we? Are you offended by the doctrine and the way of the Lord Jesus? See, many are. In John chapter 6, they said, it's a hard saying. Can't take this anymore. The free lunch ain't worth it. I can't take this. About eating Jesus' body and drinking his blood. He's talking about spiritual things. It's like the same kind of thing that's going on with Nicodemus. He said, how can I be born again? I don't get what you're talking about. Just don't want it. Can't take it. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 6, he said about those that came from John the Baptist, and John being in prison and wanted to find out if Jesus is really the Messiah, really the one. The Father gave him the sign, and he when all of those that John baptized, he never saw the Spirit descend like a dove and lighting on one of them. But he did Jesus. But John doubts, and he sends these to him. And Jesus says plainly to them in verse number 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. See, that's what it all gets down to. The world wants Jesus to be a sweet, loving, caring, big peace, group hug. Everything's great. The sun is bright, and there's no pain, and the temperature's just right, and everything's just velvet and roses. That's what the world wants. That's what the world wants in this world. But it's not that way. Because when the Lord Jesus tells the truth about this world and the way of man and the way of this world, he paints an ugly picture. Because it is ugly where we're at. And I know we have blessings from the Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about what the Lord Jesus came and brought, and what the truth about our sin and our need and about our way and about we can get so caught up in our own ceremony and our own habits and our own tradition and all that. And when that doesn't line up with the Lord, when that doesn't line up with the way, the plummet line of truth that the Lord's established, will we be offended in him? Said, I can't go that. But if the Word of God says the way that it is, are we offended in it, or do we receive it? In Luke chapter 7, the same thing is said here in Luke chapter 7, just to show that it's accounted in the Gospels even more. John sends his disciples in that, and verse number 23 of Luke chapter 7, and blessed is he, touched by God, and happy, peaceful with God, whosoever shall not be offended in me.